exalting God in the way you live, exalting God in the decisions that you make, exalting God in the relationships that you have, exalting God in the vision and the purpose and the direction of your leadership.
I just webbed you. That means you're invited to church on Sunday.
The only limit that you have is your ability to receive.
Only God could take something old and turn it into something new.
You need the pep talk from Pastor Wheezy. You can do it. Come on, man. We're going to live for God. It's going to be amazing.
You hang 10 toes off the front of your board. And I'm centered on Christ, even though my situation is not.
We're in for a ride.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the Wayne Feeds Daily Podcast, episode number 4. I am Dr. Wayne Hansen, your host, here on Facebook Live, on iTunes, and YouTube, and we're glad that you're joining us tonight. If you would like to tweet me or contact me, just to hit me up through at Pastor Wayne H, and I'd love to hear from you. Today's episode is brought to you by two sponsors. The first sponsor is the YouVersion Bible app. It's the Bible app that I choose, and it's available for free download. Check this out.
With my whole heart have I sought thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Blessed art thou, O Lord. I will not forget thy word. Now, the Bible is an app. Download it for free at bible.com/app.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, if you read the Bible will change your life. It's a free app. Go to the App Store or the Google Play Store, download your free copy of the YouVersion Bible app, and it's life-changing. Also, you have many translations on there. There's Bible study helps. There's all kinds of reading plans. They have it in several different languages. They have the audio version. So if you're not a reader, but maybe you enjoy audio books, you can have the Bible read to you every single morning. So I really encourage you to use the Bible app, and it'll change your life. This episode is also brought to you by our friends over at Campbell Chiropractic here in Castle Rock. They are located on Decono Way, just over by the movie theater. And my wife and I have been going to Dr. Corey Campbell for sports physicals and chiropractic and nutrition information and health for years and years and years. And so we love Dr. Corey. We love his practice. And we're going to get into it today. We're going to see what's happening in the world today. All right, I think I figured out how to stream over to the web while keeping all my other stuff in screen here. So be patient with me as I do. And this is crazy. The Israeli airstrikes in Syria have been a huge topic of conversation today, of course, in the news. And some people are worried or wondering that maybe this is World War III. You know, I don't think it's like that. I think what's happening with this particular measured response is you might notice that Israel did not strike first, but the Iranians or the Persians struck Israel first. And so this was in response to the Iranian promise that they would not build permanent bases. Here we go. Hey, we have it on screen here. So in I think this is the Jewish Times today, and it's locking up on me. It's locking up. Okay, here we go. We can see what's happening in the world. The number that I heard was about 25 rockets were sent over from the Syrian border from Iranian military bases into the Golan Heights, which is just east of the Galilee, not far from where Jesus grew up, ironically enough. And the Israelis struck in kind these many military bases that the Iranians have built in Syria under the noses of Assad. An Israeli airstrike on Iranian military installations in Syria left 25 people dead, according to a watchdog group. Five of those killed are reported to be Syrian soldiers, and the other 18 forces were allied with, according to the Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. They've closely followed the Syrian civil war, and it's not known if any of the foreign nationals were killed were Iranian. The Syrian military denied the watchdog's report, saying that three were killed and two wounded in the Israeli airstrikes. The airstrikes were in response to a barrage of missiles fired at Israel late on Wednesday night, which Israel blames on the Quds force of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. Iran has denied firing the missiles. Four of them were intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system, and the rest landed in the Syrian territory. In uncharacteristic fashion, Israel took responsibility for the airstrikes, some 50 attacks against Iranian targets, including intelligence centers, weapons depots, storage facilities, observation posts, and logistics centers in Syria, as well as the rocket launcher that carried out the missile attacks. We hit almost all the Iranian infrastructure in Syria, Israeli Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman said on Thursday at the Herzliya Conference, a security and defense convention. They should understand that if we get rain, they'll get a flood. Israel had opened its bomb shelters in the Golan Heights on Tuesday night, fearing retaliation for an alleged Israeli airstrike on Syria's T4 airbase, which is believed to be home to the advanced Iranian air defense system, and over the Trump administration's decision to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal. So the nuclear deal sort of triggered all of this earlier this week when Trump made it public that he was going to pull the United States out of the deal. Obviously, Iran was not keeping its promises. It was building permanent bases in Syria. I think most people have heard the phrase death to America. That's a common greeting in Iran. It's almost lost its meaning. And so basically, Israel had enough. And as soon as massive airstrikes were being launched into the Golan Heights, that was the permission they needed for a full force attack on all the permanent Persian or Iranian bases in Syria. So what can we learn from all that? I think we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. And of course, we're not ever happy if someone dies in a war. But we do know that war is kind of a natural state of affairs in the world when we live in this sinful, fallen condition. And Islam, contrary to popular belief, is not a religion of peace. Even though there are peaceful Muslims, the religion itself advocates the killing of infidels, which includes Christians and Jews. And so there's not a lot of ways around that theologically unless Islam has some kind of reform. Christianity had a reformation, and it's probably time for the Muslims to have a reformation of some kind, for the moderates and the peace-loving Muslims to stand up and say, okay, enough is enough. This radicalism could end up destroying us all. I think we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray that the sons of Abraham would get along. It's not very nice to say, but both of these nations, both the Israelis and the Arabs, seem to be very racist against one another. And so we just need to pray for that peace. In other news, this week, Facebook is accused of being biased against conservatives online. A growing court demands to know why content was removed and accounts were deleted. This is Jessica Guyon in USA Today. San Francisco, during his testimony on Capitol Hill last month, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg batted down accusations that the giant local social network has a liberal bent. But last week, Facebook said that it would bring in advisors to investigate whether it suppresses conservative voices. The latest in a post-Cambridge Analytica goodwill campaign to rebuild trust within its 2.2 billion users. Conservative claims that Facebook liberal staff treats them unfairly have been simmering for years and exploded in 2016. But they are gaining momentum as Facebook concedes that it made missteps in moderating the vast amount of content that streams through its platform. Pretty interesting. I think when we think about the Silicon Valley, we think about the West Coast, we think about a lot of these pockets of liberalism in our country. They want to silence the voices of conservatism and any voice that might stand against their agenda for liberalizing the country in very negative ways. And so you need to pray for Mark Zuckerberg and for wisdom, and that the social media platform, if it really is supposed to be an avenue or a platform or a marketplace where ideas can be shared, that it's democratized, that information can flow freely without being censored, and that healthy dialogue can happen. And if you're a Christian and you're on Facebook, or you're watching Facebook Live, or you're watching or listening to the iTunes or the YouTube later, I would just say this: don't fall for the trap, the clickbait trap of trying to get you upset or pull you into some kind of negative argument all the time. You know, the Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath. You don't always have to respond in kind when someone says something cruel or mean or biting or terrible to you online. You can be just like Jesus and turn the other cheek. You could be like Jesus and just ignore what's being said. Oftentimes, Jesus would answer a question with a question. And so you don't always have to respond. You can be a person of peace. And so that's what I've got for the news today. And let's move on to our next segment. All right, it is time for some inspiration and motivation. And again, this whole week I've been in the Maxwell Leadership Bible. And again, I hope you have a good Bible that you study out of, or that you find a Bible maybe that's got wide margins where you can write in the margins, you can write notes, you can underline things, you can highlight things in your Bible. And today's reading in the One Year Bible comes from John 15, 1 through 16. And this is Jesus talking about that he is the vine and we're the branches. Let me just read it to you. He says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit in and of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And then continuing down, he's talking about how to have joy. And when we abide in God, we get joy. It says, "As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I've commanded you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of a Father in my name, he may give you." Isn't that good? It's so powerful. What John Maxwell writes about this particular passage in his study Bible today is this: fruitfulness is fun. Fruitfulness is fun. It's fun to bear fruit. So in our study today, we see, John Maxwell says in his Leadership Bible, fruitfulness is fun. And Jesus taught that his staff, his disciples, how to be fruitful so that the joy might be full. In other words, fruitfulness is fun. There's a great joy in gaining the results that God desires for your life. Jesus said that he chose us and appointed us in order to go and bear fruit. As leaders, our goal is not only to bear fruit, but to help others to do the same. So we must be more than fruitful. We must be fruitful and have great potential to be fruitful leaders because of our seven qualities. And the first quality is this: to remember that our fruitfulness comes from
Verse 1, the source, Jesus, is the source of our fruitfulness. Jesus says, I am the true vine. If we stay connected to him, we naturally bear fruit. Number 2, care. A vine dresser, a vintner, has to take care of the vines. It says, our Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. He owns us, and he cares for us. We have to let the Father care for us. We have to turn to him when we're in trouble. Number 3, pruning. God removes anything that hinders our usefulness. He trims our weaknesses. Number 4, partnership. Our job isn't to artificially push fruit out, but to stay connected to the vine. And if we're connected to the vine, we're naturally going to bear fruit. Number 5, the promise. It says, if we let his word abide in us, he will promises to do what we ask, that he's going to provide for our needs. He's going to meet everything that we might ask him for. Number 6, purpose. God created us to glorify him by bearing much fruit. And finally, number 7, obedience. Jesus gives only one condition to all this. We must obey God. We are to remain in him, receive from him, and reproduce for him. So being a fruitful person, you want to be a fruity person for Jesus? Not like fruity pebbles, but you want to be a person that's bearing fruit, like prosperity and a healthy marriage and godly kids and a thriving business and a worship experience with God where it's a dynamic friendship with the Lord. Well, abide in God, abide in Christ. Let the vine dresser, let the Heavenly Father prune out the things out of you that don't need to be there to help you become the man or the woman of God that he wants you to be. So that's my moment of inspiration and motivation today. And I hope you're inspired as I was as I studied it. I once again want to thank our sponsor today. It was the YouVersion Bible app and Dr. Corey Campbell at Campbell Chiropractic Care here in Castle Rock. Whether you're searching for back pain relief, alternative treatments, or holistic chiropractic care, we have you covered. Here at Campbell Chiropractic, we specialize in gentle chiropractic adjustments that are ideal for patients with sensitivity concerns. One method that we utilize for our gentle spinal alignments is referred to as the prone diversified technique. However, some of our patients request an even gentler spinal adjustment. In this case, we recommend the activator method, which is also available for chiropractic care at Campbell Chiropractic. They also do advanced chiropractic services. There are times when you need a specialized service beyond the use of chiropractic care. For your convenience, they also offer a variety of advanced chiropractic services in Castle Rock. If you want to improve your health, your well-being, ask for information pertaining to our on-site nutritional counseling. Through dietary guidance, we'll evaluate your nutritional needs and develop a personalized meal and supplement plan. Visit CastleRockChiro.com. or call Campbell Chiropractic at 303-622-5535. That's CastleRockChiro.com or call 303-622-5535. Guess what time it is, everybody? It's time for the song of the day. All right. I love the song of the day. It's getting to be one of my favorite segments. Even though we've only had 4 episodes, I just love singing a different song every day. And it inspires me to maybe write some music and play my guitar and practice more and get into that. And as I was thinking about one of my favorite songs that I love to sing, that I got memorized, actually I'm going to be doing an open mic tonight down at Maddie's Beer Garden in Castle Rock, if you're around. It's a fun thing that they do every other Thursday night, where people do original music, they do covers, they play their instruments. Sometimes there's an open jam where we all play together. And the one that I thought of tonight that I love is one called Can You Take Me Higher by the band Creed. And hope you enjoy it. Guided through another world, time and time again. At sunrise,
fight to stay asleep, 'cause I don't wanna leave the comfort of this place. 'Cause there's a hunger I'm longing to escape from the life I live when I'm away. Let's go there. Let's make our escape. Come on, let's go there. Let's ask, can we stay? Can you take me higher to a place where blind men see? Can you take me higher to a place with golden streets? Although I would like my world to change, help me to appreciate those nights and those dreams. But my friend, I'd sacrifice all those nights if I could make the earth and my dreams say. The only difference is to let love replace all the hate. Let's go there. Let's make our escape. Come on, let's go there. Let's ask, can we stay? Let's ask, can we stay? Yeah. Up high, I feel like I'm alive for the very first time. Oh God, I'm strong enough to take these dreams and make them mine. Say,
everybody. I love that one. Creed, song of the day.
All right, my final segment today. I pulled up an old book off my bookshelf that I really loved, and I've read it and reread it and made a lot of notes in it. It's called Tribal Leadership by a group of business leaders. It's a pretty cool book. And in many ways, you could read this book in conjunction with Good to Great by Jim Collins. Jim Collins always talks about level five leadership, that the kind of leader that can really make a marked difference, the difference between a good company, a great company, really comes down to leadership. And he breaks down the kinds of leaders that exist out there in the world and the percentages of leaders that fall in these different categories. And I just want to take you through the five tribal stages, because, you know, every business, every church, every ministry, every neighborhood, any organization in many ways is tribal. And now with identity politics in America and in the internet, we see that we're becoming more tribalized than we've ever been before. And this scale kind of goes, it's an ascending scale. So from, if you're a level one leader, it's kind of like the worst, it's the base, it's the lowest. And then if you're a level five leader, that's probably what you want to shoot for. And according to Collins, or according to this group of writers, only 2% fall in this lowest category of a stage one leader. But the outlook of that level one leader is life sucks. My life sucks. You know, it's well, life sucks in general. And everybody gets screwed. There's nobody who does any good. We're just doomed. The whole world is doomed. My life sucks and the world sucks. And hopefully you don't have that kind of attitude if you're a leader in leadership. But some leaders, if you get burned, sometimes you'll have a bad attitude like that. And that'll affect your whole organization. It'll affect your family if you're the leader. You're a mom or a dad in a family. It'll affect your church if you're the pastor or a small group leader. If you're the youth pastor, if you have that kind of mindset, only bad things can happen. We've crashed again here on Facebook Live. Facebook Live, I love you, but... I'm going to say goodbye and finish the podcast here. So, hopefully you guys are still with me here in the YouTube and iTunes feed. But let me just continue this teaching here and we'll finish out. If you're a level two leader, a stage two leader, that's about 25% of the leaders that are out there. And this is the person who says, well, maybe the whole world doesn't suck, but my life personally sucks. Bad things are happening in my life. And there's not anything I can do about it. I feel kind of unempowered. There's nothing I can do about it. My life sucks. A stage three leader is at least moved from negativity to positivity. That stage three leader says, I'm great. You know, if the other people would just be better around me, then life would go better. But I know, I believe in myself. And someday I'm going to crawl out of this hole and I'm going to do a better job. The level four leader, about 22% of leaders, they span the gulf between I'm great and we're great. A level four leader says, man, this is a great company. This is a great ministry. This is a great neighborhood. This is a great family. We believe in ourselves. Everybody else sucks, but we are great. We do it better than anybody else. You could see this in some denominational circles. You can see this in organizations that get very territorial. They decide that they're not going to let any outsiders in, that they have the corner on the market on what's good and what's not good. And we could say we need to be careful that politically in our country right now, with that phrase that says "Make America Great Again." Well, who's defining what great means, right? And some people don't like that, but that's how it is. So we see a breakdown. It's kind of a bell-shaped curve. Most people fall as leaders somewhere in that middle of 2, 3, or 4. Most people are really just looking out for themselves. And so the authors of Tribal Leadership categorize these leaders in different ways. A stage one leader is a despairingly hostile leader. A stage two leader is an apathetic victim. They don't know what to do about it. They're powerless. They can't make any changes. The stage three, which is most people, they're kind of a lone wolf. I'm just going to look out for myself. I'm going to do my very best. I believe in myself. I don't really believe in anybody else, but I'm going to make my way in the world today. The level four leader is someone with tribal pride. They believe in their tribe, but they don't believe in anybody or anything else. And then the stage five leader, which is really only 2%, but we should try to aim for it. I think it's very Christ-like leadership, is what they call innocent wonderment. Innocent wonderment. Now, the person at the bottom says, life sucks. The next person up says, my life sucks. The next person up says, I'm great and you're not. The fourth person up says, we're great and they're not. But the level five leader says, life is great. Life presents new opportunities all the time. today is a new day. I'm going to be used by God to make a difference in someone else's life. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to be a victor. I'm going to make a difference in someone else's life today. And I think those are the kind of people that change the world. Those are the kind of people that you want to follow. And that's the kind of leader that you want to be. If you can become that kind of person, your organization, your family, your church, your ministry will change the world. So that's my kind of, I don't know, moment of commentary and inspiration here today. By the way, if you would like to know more about the podcast, or you want to serve, or you want to do an interview here on the program, contact me on my email, PastorWayneH@mac.com, or you can call the church office at 303-524-4000, and we'd love to answer your calls and any questions you might have about the ministry or about what we're doing with the podcast or youth ministry or missions or the various ministries that we have. That's all the time we have today for episode number 4 on the Wayne Feeds Daily Podcast. Join us tomorrow for the Friday edition. Friday, it's Friday tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. So we'll see you tomorrow. Take care, everybody.